Right now, let's give the Lord praise. Amen. We give the Lord a shout. Amen. I just got to tell you, I've been in Psalm 85 for a few weeks now. I hadn't been able to get out of it. I've gone to other things, but I keep going back. And I just want to read to you it's the next last verse of Psalm 85. It says, yes, the Lord will give what is good. That is your good shepherd. He will give what is good. Now, you may be facing a need, may be facing a problem, and it could be anywhere from financial to physical. It could be relational, right? Those happen. I am preaching to the right people. I didn't hear you over the camera. Okay, relational. Could be emotional. I want to tell you, our Jesus is the same Jesus that touched people when he was walking on earth. He's still touching people today, and he wants to touch you. And I want to tell you his heart for you. No matter where you've been or what you've done, his heart for you is that the Lord wants to give you what is good. And it's a little harder for you to receive it if you're running from him. So I want to encourage you to run to him. Just turn to him. And just tell him, Lord, help. You know, the latter part of that verse says, and our land will yield its increase. Now I want to tell you, you got room for increase. And that's the Lord's vision for you. Is increase. And I'm not just talking about ching ching. I mean, when I'm talking to United States of America, you know, they automatically think ching ching. Well, that is a part, but it's so much more than that. And so we're believing for the Lord's heart for you because he blesses us to bless others. And I want to tell you what the Lord's doing with you, he wants to do with others. And he will actually let you participate in it. What a privilege that is. Amen? And so I'm so excited about you. We're on a series right now. It started out a short series. I know some of you are not shocked. It's grown every week. And I think I initially told the beautiful blonde it's going to be 3. And now it's going to be 6. It'll be 6 next week. And so we will wrap it up next week. And all the people said. Yeah, I'm glad that wasn't a test. Okay. All right, I love you so much. Hey, listen, we need to dive right on in. I don't have time to do a lot of catching you up because this is part 5, or we would have a part 7 real easy. So it's important, if you haven't caught this, to go back and catch up. And I'm not promoting me, I'm promoting the message. And the message makes a difference. It's the message that changes the lives. It's not this man, it's the message. And so I just want to encourage you on that. Pastor Don and I were visiting this week, and we were talking about a pastor that had a question. I'm just going to kick that out and start the sermon with it. I think that hit me yesterday. And so it went something like this. How can we have faith for salvation and not have faith for healing? That's a good question, isn't it? Yeah, good questions don't intimidate me, they don't scare me, because I found out decades ago that it was real healthy for me to look someone in the eye and say, I don't know. Because there's a lot I don't know. I'm still learning, and I'm not even claiming to know a lot. I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You don't have to amen that. Okay, but I want to tell you, the Lord loves to give us wisdom, and he loves to help us. Okay, what I tell people, it's all right to have questions, just don't question God. There's a difference in that, and I've shared on that, may do so before it's all over with. But here's the deal, is that, you know what, don't let your question keep you from following God. Man, don't let that be a major, let it be a minor. Major on the majors, minor on the minors. And so don't let your question hinder you. But let me just say a couple of things about that, because this is a good way, because we're talking about in this series how to know the ways of God. You want to know his ways. You don't want to be one of those that just sit in a crowd and see his works and clap for what the Lord's doing for someone else. You want to be on the ball field. You want to be in the game of life. The Lord's got purpose for you. He got destiny for you. Don't be satisfied sitting in the stands. Hey, let's get on the line of scrimmage. That's where the action is. And the Lord designed you for action. He designed you for cheering, yes. Let's cheer Him and each other on, but He designed you for more than cheering. It's for action. A-C-T-I-O-N, action. Heaven loves action. I'm going to try to show you that today. So how can we have faith for salvation and not have faith for healing? Well, the simple answer is you do. You do. You do have faith. For everything the Lord has for you, you have faith, because it's not your faith. It's the Lord's faith. And when you received Christ, you received Him. He became right here in your spirit. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the living Christ come to dwell in your spirit when you accepted Christ. And you got full measure of Jesus in your spirit. That's why scriptures that maybe have never made sense to you that, you know, we're complete in the Lord. And you say, who? Me? No, I'm not. You didn't see me yesterday. No. It's not talking about your physical. It's not talking about your soulish part. It's talking about your spirit. Your spirit's complete. And so in Jesus, in you, full-grown Jesus, by the way, not a baby Jesus. But the full-grown Jesus in you is faith. He has faith. And so 2 Peter 1:1 says that. Matter of fact, I'm going to just read it to you because I don't know if it's on the... it's a long ways down. Okay, we'll get there. We'll probably start out with this next week, but I got to read it to you. Simon Peter, a bondservant, which is a beautiful description, is a servant because of love. A servant not because of guilt, not because of condemnation. A bondservant was a love servant. And he's an apostle. He's anointed and called by God. Let me say something. You're anointed and called by God also. Okay? And we're to represent Jesus in our calling. Walk worthy of your calling. That's not in there. I'm just saying that. To those who have received and possess a precious faith of the same kind as ours. Somebody say same kind. By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's not earned. Your faith is not earned. It's not a deserving thing. It's a grace gift. Okay? And that word received means to obtain. And so we obtained faith when we received Christ. You don't attain faith. See, some places teach you, well, You just got to work it up, and you got to grow it up. No, you got all the faith of Jesus on the inside of you, and you obtain it when you receive Christ. You don't attain it. Okay, I'm giving you a little background on it. And so that's very, very important. And so it's important for you to understand when it says, like precious faith, same kind as ours, like precious faith, when you look up the word, it goes like this. This will do you good. It's equal in rank. Equal in rank. Is that great? Now I want to tell you, if you know anything about military, you know rank makes a difference. And I had a captain tell me one time that he was walking along there on the sidewalk on base, and it was dark, and a soldier came toward him, and he just automatically saluted. And he thought to himself, that's a wise soldier right there, because he didn't know me, didn't know my rank. But just in case, he saluted. And so I want to tell you something. Someone else didn't get greater faith than you. Someone else didn't get more faith than you. You got what Bible calls a measure of faith. And I want to tell you something. You got the very faith of Jesus inside you. Listen to me. Same rank as the Apostle Peter. You think that's enough? It's more than enough. Jesus said it's not the amount. It's not the amount. He said even if you just had a mustard seed measure of faith, you could speak to mountains and tell them to take a hike, go swimming in the lake. And they would. You could tell a mulberry tree that has a root system all the way. And some of us got root systems of disturbance that go way down. Well, I want to tell you something about the Jesus kind of faith. You can speak to that mulberry bush and it'll be taken up by its roots and cast into the sea. And so it's not a measure of do you have it. You have the faith for everything the Lord paid for. Here's the deal, is that we're learning how to receive the application of faith in different areas. I was ministering. You see, it's the application of faith. We got it. We need to learn how to apply it. How to receive and apply. The old timers used to talk about it like this. Reckon it so, son. I can hear Brother Ravenhill say it. Deem it so. See, that's old English wording. Deem it so, reckon it so. And way we say that is make it you. And this series is supposed to help you how to do that. All right, how to take it from the Bible to your life. Because that's the way he intended it to go. All right, it's not just to read about and say, well, isn't that nice? No, he didn't give us things to tease us. Okay, he gave us things to point us to him. And you say, well, we'll never be like Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, he said we'd be Christ-like. And so it's an ever-growing lifetime journey. And your faith is a lifetime journey. And I was meeting, because we meet with minister to ministers, right? You know that. We do that as a church. I'm meeting with a minister not too long ago, and I just shared something that the Lord's growing. I said, the Lord's growing me in the area of finances. He's teaching me how to apply faith for finances because I got needs that I'm praying for that's way above me. We're probably talking about a $2 million building back here at Gymatorium. And so I want to tell you that I don't have, my checkbook is screaming today. All right, my wife heard me not too long ago talking real tough to somebody, and she come in there and she said, who are you talking to? And I said, it's my checkbook. She said, well, what are you saying? I said, I'm calling it a liar. Because it says I don't have any money, and the Lord says, he's my provision. Okay, do you kind of get where I'm going? Now, this pastor, he had a handle on receiving of finances. And so he ministered to me, and then he asked me, well, what about this healing stuff? He said, it seemed like everybody I pray for gets sicker. Well, I said, oh, I've been there. I said, it used to be kind of a joke there for a while. You need to go to the hospital, call Pastor Tim, you know. But I'm telling you, it's learning. It's learning how to apply what he's already given us. How to appropriate, okay? How to reckon it so, deem it so, how to put it into action. And I think Pastor Don was with me in my house one day when we prayed for a little lady that had a specific problem. And you know what? The Lord touched her. I mean, the Lord touched her. And she received an immediate release on a particular area we were praying for. And she said something as she was walking out the door. Well, I hope the Lord will heal me of the rest of my stuff. I said, oh yeah, he wants to. And she said, well, I don't see that happening. And I said, well, that's part of the problem. I said, you know, you gotta, faith comes, the completeness, the application of faith, because you already got it. The application of faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. The Holy Spirit paints a hope picture in you that it's got your name on it. He shows you the victory picture. Do you have the victory picture from the Lord for whatever you're facing? And that's what hope is. It's the expectation of God's goodness in your life. And so he'll give you a hope picture. And you get that hope picture and you agree to it. See, there's agreement. You say, now, I didn't say all that right then. I just said, you need to be in the Word for your healing, and, you know, for the Lord to give you that expression of hope that'll point you in faith. And I said, what scriptures has the Lord given you for your healing? And this person, I don't know if you remember this. This person said, well, okay, that's like asking somebody, do you know your phone number, and they don't, you know. Look, this person didn't know. Well, there's something in the Bible about stripes, right? said, yes. I said, but let me encourage you. This needs to be your focus. Not on healing, but the healer. But you need to be saturated in the, you hear saturated? Saturated in the Word, where the Holy Spirit can point you and show you in a personal way Jesus has healed you from the cross. And I said, that will make a difference in your belief factor, in your confidence factor, in your trust factor, in your seeing it on the inside so you can see it on the outside. Okay, is that too much? And so what I want to say is, yes, we got the faith for whatever the Lord has in mind for you. And our part is to renew our mind to the place where our spirit and soul agree, okay, to what God says about us, and we're able to speak it so we can see it. Is that too much? Man, I tell you, I'm trying to just lay it out here. But we're learners. And so hear His Word in that area you're believing for. Soak it up. Submerge yourself. Saturate yourself in His words until they're activated, love, hope, faith, until they're activated to application. You got it? Boy, I'm telling you, it may be a part 7 or 8 on this. Okay, let me real quickly say this, because we've said it every sermon for a couple of times. My wife kind of lovingly pointed out, I think they got this part. Well, you know, this is why they call me the parrot, kind of make fun of me. But, you know, it's repetition. We learn by repetition. And so I'm going to say it a couple times. You need to say it a bunch of times every day until it becomes a part of you. It's recognition. It's an auto-response. Okay? All right. I'm just trying to help you. First of all, you got to hear it. You got to hear it and hear it and hear it. And you say, well, I've heard it. No, you got to hear it until it resounds in you, until it echoes in you, until you can hear it with your voice. Okay? I'm trying. Okay. Embrace it. You got to embrace it. You got to hear it, well, it goes from fact to revelation, to rhema. You got to hear it till it becomes life to you. And it tastes good to you. And you grab hold of it. And this is why we say things like this. You got to own it. It needs to be made you. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do, will help make it you. You got to hear it and embrace it till you see it. And what I'm saying about seeing it is see it on the inside. And so you got to have that inside yes. See, that's what faith is an inside yes. I didn't bring my, yeah, there's my light switch right there. You got to flip the switch. You got to flip the switch. You know what that is? Saying yes to Jesus. I had a couple people ask me, well, when do we know when to flip the switch? Oh, I'm going to tell you. Thank you for asking. You flip the switch every step of the way. Because it's a continual yes. It's a forever yes and a continual yes to Jesus every day, every way. Yes, you flip the switch. That's agreeing with God, okay? That's saying it is depending on the Lord. And you got to speak it. You got to speak it on the inside. See, that's where meditation comes in, and you say it over and over to yourself. You say it and worship the Lord with it. You minister it to yourself. We've taught you this with confessions, where we take the Scripture, and we've got a new one for you today, where we take the Scripture and personalize it, and we've tried to teach you that. You know what? You say, thank you, Lord. You worship the Lord with His Word. He loves His Word. He loves for you, not that He's forgotten, but He loves for you to remember and remind Him of His Word. That's worship. He loves His Word. He loves you. This is precious. This is how you bless the Lord. Isn't that great? And also, you need to apply it to your own soul. Your own soul, your own ears, your own eyes, your own soul needs to hear you confess that, you know what? I believe. I believe this promise. I believe this Word. And then, you know what? The Word is a weapon of warfare. And you can take that same Word and use it against the enemy when he comes to bring doubt, speculation, or unbelief. You take this Word and say, it is written. And you confess the Word. Different approach. Because we don't beg the enemy. We don't nice to the enemy. You know what? We resist and we renounce That's what the Bible says. Submit to God and resist the enemy and he'll flee. And, you know, you may have to do that a number of times, but victory's worth it. Amen? Okay, so it's inside yes and outside yes. You speak it. You got to speak it. Number three is act it out. And part of this is speaking it. You got to declare it when you don't see it with your physical eyes. You got to declare it as a word of faith. And the word of faith is what you say what God says when it looks like it's impossible for it to happen. When you don't feel it, you don't see it. When other people are saying it's impossible because they will, you have the all-possible God. And whose report are you going to believe? I believe the report of the Lord. Whose report are you going to confess? The world's report or the Word report? And that's exciting, and that's something all of us can do. We can speak it. And I'm going to show you, and next week I'll probably start out with it, but it's going to go something like this. You know, Psalm 91 is so powerful. And it's just filled with the promises of God for you. Verse 1, you just practice His presence. Verse 2 says this, and this is the key. I will say. And so His voice operates. You speak it. I'm going to tell about my little granddaughter next week. Some of you already heard the story, but I love talking about them, so you're going to hear it again next week. But as a 3-year-old, she learned how to voice activate the computer system in their home. I'll describe it. I'll try to talk like her next week. But I want to tell you, when she would talk to the computer, what's the name of the computer? Alexa? Glad you don't name your dog that. Okay. But she would tell Alexa in her daddy's voice, the tone. Okay? She'd talk to me, oh, papa-dee, papa-dee. And then she'd say, Alexa. I mean like authority, like a command. And she'd tell Alexa to play one of her favorite songs. And I'm listening to that, and I'm going, wow, man, that's a spiritual principle. She's caught something Christians need to catch. Something Ed told me we need to teach people. Don't call it yours. You renounce it. It's an enemy. So we act it out. We apply it. There's some way to put it in action. And I'm going to say this in a hurry because I got to get on to the son of Timaeus. I'm going to say this in a hurry. It goes like this. You can't just talk the talk. You got to walk the walk. We got Christians that know Christianese so well. We got Christians that know what to say, when to say it, how to say it. And, you know, that's good. That's part of the process. That's not the end result. The end result is you got to act it out. We tell people whenever you hear God, do something with it. I tell people to write it down. You say amen to it. I'm going to show you that in the Bible. You say amen to it. You agree with it. So be it, Lord. I believe. It's an expression of faith to say amen. So be it. But at the same time, you need to do something else with it. You write it down and you tell somebody else. We've got some. There was a pastor not too long ago that said, I got some revelation, but I'm not going to tell you. I said, okay. I know you do. I mean, a lot of people have revelation. I don't. I know you do. But I want to tell you, I learned a long time ago. You try to keep it to yourself, that's not the way it multiplies. Now, I remember the Lord showed me something in Proverbs one day, and I told the Lord, I mean, I'm talking to him out loud. I said, Lord, that's treasure. I'm not going to tell anybody till I get to preach that. And this is what he said. He said, do you want more? I said, yeah. Yeah, I want some more. He said, give it away. Mm-mm. So do something with it. Write it down. Respond to it quickly. Write it down. Act it out. Do something. Tell somebody. There's power in confessing what the Lord's saying to you. But it's part of walking the walk. Okay, you ready for the son of Timaeus? Mark chapter 10, 46 through 52. They came to Jericho. And as Jesus was leaving Jericho with the disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, saying, Jesus, son of David, have pity, have mercy on me now. And many severely censured and reproved him. Do you remember us talking about a mountain standing in your way of what the Lord wants to do? for your life. This came out of Zechariah 4. I got to minister this in East Texas this week. And you know what, that mountain? I want to tell you, according to the Bible, the Lord says that mountain will become a molehill. Now, there's a difference between a mountain and a molehill. You may see it as a mountain. God says it's a molehill. And so I want to tell you, he tells us something to do with it. You got to speak and holler at it, grace. You holler grace to it. You spell grace, J-E-S-U-S. And so it's depending and trusting in the Lord, depending on the Lord. You speak Jesus to that mountain, and it becomes a molehill. And so here's Bartimaeus. You know what? And the mountain will show up with human faces and human names on it. Now, I know the enemy resists. You understand the enemy resists, but I want to tell you, there will be faces show up. Okay? Hey, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay? Because I could stay here. But I'm telling you, don't let human faces or human names or human resistance be a mountain that causes you to shut down. You don't chew them out. I'm in Texas. Don't cuss them out. You speak grace to them. But you're saying what Jesus is. And Jesus turns that mountain into a molehill. Boy, that's exciting stuff. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many severely censured and reproved him. That's what people will do. Get ready. Because if all it takes is a dirty look from someone to shut you down, guess what you're going to get? They told him to shut up, to keep still, and he said, oh, I'm so sorry, excuse me, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Is that what he said? No. He kept on shouting all the more. I believe he got louder. What do you think? Son of David, have pity, have mercy on me now. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, telling him, take courage. Get up, he's calling you. Now I want to tell you, it's probably the same people. Probably the same people that had just been saying, shut up, be quiet. The Lord don't have time for you. We ain't got time for this man. He got places to go and people to see. And Jesus said, I want him. Bring him here. And they said, oh, Jesus wants to see you. Come on, let me help you. Oh, come on now. You know I had to go there because people are fickle. I've lost weight about 100 times in my life. That's all right. I've lost over 1,000 pounds. Still losing. But I want to tell you what's fun. The very same people that would tell me, you know, you're fat. I said, well, thank you for your discernment. You know, your eyes are working real well. And then I'd lose a lot of weight. And they'd say, you're too skinny. You don't look healthy. You need a little biscuit and gravy. Same people. And so I'm telling you, we don't depend on people's applause, and we don't depend on people's criticism. We got to go with what God says. All right. If Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, had not been at that place of faith, he'd have never received. You understand there was a choice to shut up. If he'd have shut up and not called, spoke it out, called upon the Lord, he'd have never been healed. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. They called him. Throwing off his outer garment. Probably didn't mean anything to anybody else. But it was probably his comfort garment. His comfort blanket. It was probably that. You know, sometimes you see little kids growing up and they become attached to an item. Sometimes it's a blanket. And I'll never forget one teenager, and this is something that gone along too many years, but they finally got to the place where they didn't carry their little toy or their little blanket around. And I was visiting with him, talking with him, and I said, man, where did that great-looking blanket you used to have? I don't care it. I'm a big boy. I said, well, way to go, man. I'm proud of you. And about that time, I turned my back, started walking off, and I turned back around, and he had taken a piece of it that he had cut off, and he goes, now look, I'm not criticizing anybody, but you know, if you put your comfort in something else besides Jesus, that's something that could hinder you from receiving from Jesus. Now, this coat, probably nobody else would have had it, but it was probably the only item that kept him warm on certain nights, you know. But I want to tell you what he did, and I love this about him. Some garments are secret. Some of them are public. Some of them are obvious. Some of them are addictions. But I want to tell you what he did. He laid it down to come to Jesus. I want to tell you, heaven shouts when he sees that. When heaven sees that, heaven shouts. Because it's on. Okay? Whatever it is, and whatever it's been to you in the past, or a person has been in the past, do not let them hinder you from receiving of the Lord. He leaped up and came to Jesus. I think this is so interesting because Jesus said, "What do you want me to do?" Now, blind, beggar, come on. No, listen to me. See, this is a part of faith here. Because I want to tell you, and I'm going to tell you this about Bartimaeus, and you can ask him, if you get to heaven before I do, you ask. But I want to tell you something about Bartimaeus. He heard about the stories of Jesus. He heard about the words of Jesus. And it became his deepest desire, his greatest hope, his dream of a lifetime to meet Jesus one day. And he would meditate on that and think, and he'd listen for any words that people heard Jesus say. And he would capture them and meditate on those and put his name on. Are you listening? And his greatest hope is that one day Jesus would pass by his spot. And he was determined, are you listening, that if Jesus ever passes by my spot, I'm going to get my chance to call upon his name. And you know what? He did and he did. Because when he heard the crowd coming, he'd say, "Hey, who, what's happening? Why the crowd?" They said, "Jesus is coming." He said, "This is my chance. This is what I've been believing for. This is what I meditated on. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to act it out." And he did. And he didn't let hell or people keep him from calling upon the Lord. And so Jesus asked him, "What do you want?" Now, I just, in my own meditation, I think he went like this. "My eyes. Master, let me receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "It's done. Go your way. Your faith has healed you." Is that good? Now I want to tell you, he had time. And this is what kind of gets me about people. Because some of the people that are the sickest and are locked in have time to saturate and to seek the Lord. But their life becomes so busy in other things and other goals and other areas that they don't do the main thing. And if you were to ask them, I'd like to be healed. Yeah, I would. And I've had him tell me, I've already said this in this series, Jesus knows where I live. He wants to heal me. He know my address. No, that's the wrong approach. But I'm telling you, Bartimaeus had the right approach. You know why? Because his faith, I'm going to say this word because we're going to get to it later. His faith was complete in action. Complete in action. Now, that may take a season, but he had the season and he took advantage of it. And when the opportunity came, when healing came knocking, when Jesus came walking by, his faith was complete to action. We're going to see that. Oh, I think you're going to like that. I think they're going to fire you up. And Jesus said, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." And at once he received his sight and he went his own way and did his own thing, lived his own life. No, I don't think the Holy Spirit wasted these words. Do you? It says that he accompanied Jesus on the road. You know what he said? "You're my Savior. You're my healer. I ain't leaving you. You're the first face I ever saw. You're the first face I ever saw. I'm walking with you." Oh, okay. Let's cover another one. This is about Peter and the disciples. Now, you've heard me preach on this probably, but like I say, it applies to this knowing his ways. Because Peter and the disciples were trying to learn his ways. Are we trying to learn his ways? Well, the Lord wants you to know his ways, so get ready. Mark chapter 6, 45, and at once he insisted. He insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go ahead of him. They didn't want to go. They did not want to go. But he insisted. Now I want to tell you something. A lot of times before the Lord does something in your life, he's going to get you out of your comfort zone. It would have been a whole lot more comfortable with Jesus on the shoreline. Because I want to tell you, they were pros when it come to weather and the sea. They could probably see, let's stay here. Jesus insisted that they get in a boat and go. And so here they go. And to go ahead of him to the other side. He said, go to the other side, the side. While he was sending the crowd away. And after he had taken leave of them, he went to the hills to pray. To spend time with Father. Isn't that a great idea? Well, how much have we done that recently? Because if it's important for Jesus to spend a lot of time with Father, it's important for you to spend a lot of time with Father. And we're not talking about your shop list. We're talking about letting Him love on you. Because that's where your healing comes from. It's from the healer. You see, don't just seek a healing, seek the healer. Don't just seek a financial miracle, seek the provider himself. Okay, because he wants you to know him and take time to let him love on you. It's amazing how those mountains become molehills when you're receiving the love of the Lord. Somebody say amen. And so when evening had come, the boat was out in the middle of the lake and he was by himself on the land. So where's Jesus on the land? Where are the guys? He's in the middle of the lake. And having seen, see, he saw. Now whether this was a physical seeing, I doubt it. I think he saw in the spirit because it was dark, it was at night, it was storm. But he saw that they were troubled and tormented in their rowing, for the wind was against them, about the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6 a.m. So they had been out there a long time trying to get to the other side. And he came to them walking directly on the sea. Isn't that exciting? And I get this. This is such a kick to me. I love this. I get to laugh. With Jesus about this kind of stuff, but this just tickles the far out of me. And he says, he acted as if he meant to pass by them. And so here they are. You get this picture, right? They're in the boat. They're struggling for their lives. It's a storm that's got death written on it. It's a raging sea. Did I say that right? Because I talked about an angry sea the other day. My wife said, I think it's raging. It was a mad sea. Raging. Okay? So they're in the boat in a raging, fighting a raging sea for their life. And here comes Jesus. No, come on now. You got to see this. Use your imagination God gave you besides something. Oh, Lord, I ain't going there. But I'm just telling you, see it. He acted as if he was going passing by. Okay? I just love that. Because I mess with people. So I think the Lord was messing with them. But when they saw him, they didn't respond in faith. They didn't respond with a cheer. They didn't say, Jesus! No. They thought it was a ghost. Now why did they think that? I'm going to show you. And they raised a shriek of terror. Now see, these were guys. And what the Bible's describing is that they cried out like little girls. Somebody want to give me an example? They cried like little girls because they were scared. Okay. For they all saw him. They saw Jesus. But the reason they didn't recognize him is because they were agitated. They were troubled and filled with fear and dread. Let me tell you this. If your heart's full of fear, what are you going to see? You're going to see ghosts. If your heart's full of faith, who are you going to see? Jesus. And so, whatever's in your heart determines what you see. The reason they responded in fear is because they were at Camp Fear. Okay. You say, well, Brother Tim, do you blame them? No, I'd probably been right there with them. I'm just saying, I'm trying to teach you something. But immediately, he talked to them. And he told them, take heart. Be of courage. Don't be wimpies. Don't be crying like girls. Be men of God. Come on now. Take heart. Be of courage. Okay? Take heart. Be of courage. And he announced who he was. He said his name. He said, I am. I am. See, that's how he introduced himself to Moses in the burning bush. I am. And I want to tell you, when he says, I am, because he announces to the soldiers when they came to arrest him, we need to identify Jesus of Nazareth. He's under arrest. Notify yourself. Declare yourself. Identify yourself. He said, I am. And when he said, I am, they all fell out. Now, I want to tell you, he's the I am. Beginning to the end, forever, he's the I am. He's the great I am God. And he had already revealed himself to the disciples as the I am. Now get this now. Okay. I am. So stop being afraid. Now I want to tell you, if you're at Camp Fear, I'm not throwing any paddles at you. Okay? Because we can all get there. As a matter of fact, you pay attention to the world, you get there. The only way not to be in fear is to pay attention to the word over the world. Okay? And I want to tell you something. When you're at Camp Fear, you can cry out to the I am, because the I am is present for you. And one of the things he's going to tell you is put your focus on me. All right? Have courage, because I'm giving you strength. I'm giving you peace. I'm giving you love. And stop being afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Let me say it again. You don't have to be afraid. When Jesus told his disciples, don't let your heart be troubled, there was a choice in it. And he's trying to show them this. And Peter said, Lord, if this is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. Come on. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. And he came to Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, I'm going to share a couple things with you about this that probably no one else, you've ever never heard anybody else say. Don't throw Bibles at me, because I'm trying to teach you something. It goes like this. A lot of people say, now, brother, Jesus won't meet your wants, he'll just meet your needs. What kind of need was it for Peter to walk on water? I want to tell you, more than anything else, it looked like it was pretty fun. And he said, I want to do that too. Can I do that too, Jesus? Can I walk on the water too? And Jesus said, come on. And I want to tell you what he found out. He found out that when he stepped out of the boat, he didn't walk on water, he walked on the words of Jesus. And I want to tell you, that's for us. We can walk on the words of Jesus. Whatever Jesus says is what we can walk on, because he's the rock. I don't care what the water looks like. He's the rock. And when we walk on the words of Jesus, we got good stuff coming. So I'm just going to say this to you, because they forgot about the bread. They forgot about the loaves. And I don't have that in here, I don't guess. That was a repeating scripture, probably. A little like. Let me tell you this. They failed to consider and understand the teaching, the meaning of the miracle of the loaves. Now, it just happened. Let me remind you, they had just left where the I am was provision when there was no food. For thousands of people, they saw the great I am manifest to provide, make provision, a miraculous provision when there was an impossible need. The all-possible I am provided for thousands. And so he revealed himself to the disciples as the great I am. They're learning this. They're trying to capture this. But I want to tell you, they didn't stay on that channel. It's important for you and I to practice remembering the I am, remembering the goodness of God, confessing the promises of God, staying on the Jesus channel, focusing on Jesus, fellowshipping with Jesus. They forgot. Now, it's no wonder the Bible says over and over again, remember, remember, do not forget, remember, remember, do not forget. You know why? Because humans forget. And so we have to purpose to practice remembering. And so they forgot about the teaching and the meaning of the miracle of the loaves. When you forget and you don't practice remembering, your heart becomes colder. Your heart becomes dull. Your heart becomes insensitive. Are you listening? When we get on the world channel, our heart becomes insensitive. When we get on the Jesus channel, our heart becomes sensitive. Are you with me on that? And so their heart became calloused, became dull, had lost the power of understanding. In other words, what I'm telling you is this, is that they lost the revelation of the I Am because they didn't practice remembering Him. You get your eyes on the storm. You get your eyes on a direction that's not Jesus, then your heart becomes more insensitive. And so they didn't recognize and remember the I Am, because the I Am is always present. Okay? What if they had remembered? So this is what I'm bringing you to. What if they had remembered? What if they had stayed on the Jesus channel till the storm hit? Then somebody would have probably looked at somebody else in the boat and said, you know what? Our master is the great I Am. He's not just a rabbi. He's the great I Am. And the great I Am is always present. Old Testament taught us that. And so I'm telling you, we can use His name. He's told us we can use His name. And He told us to go to the other side, so it's His will. And so we can use His name to tell this storm to take a hike so we can go to the other side. But if you're not on the Jesus channel, you start operating in the a la naturel channel. And fear comes. Is anybody listening? Is this too much? They could have resisted the raging sea, the wind, and the waves. Now that's the difference between faith and fear. If they had been in faith, they'd have recognized Him, they'd have received Him, they'd have responded to Him. They cried like little girls. Now Peter was first. He said this, Lord, if it's You, can I come? Can I do it too? And the Lord said, come on. The water's fine. Come on. And so Peter stepped out of the boat. Now get this now, because sometimes we don't give him very much credit on this, but he walked on water. The Bible says he walked on the words of Jesus. He walked on the water. And so he out there doing this, man. Don't you know he looked back and said, now wait, I want to tell you something. This whole scenario would have been different if they'd have stayed on the Jesus channel. I know this is Monday morning quarterbacking, but I'm trying to help you. Okay? If we stay on the Jesus channel, we experience the perfect will of God. Because He makes it happen. Okay? That's the faith in. So listen to me. What if they'd have stayed on the Jesus channel? Jesus shows up, okay, in the storm. He's walking on the water. Peter says, can I do that too? Jesus says, come on. He jumps out and they say, whoa, wait, wait. The rest of them say, wait, Jesus, wait. You told us to follow You and we said yes. Does that mean we can come too? And you know what Jesus has said? Come on, there's plenty of room. And that all got out of the boat. Come on. They probably didn't have a term for surfing, but that would have been the first group of men to surf across the sea. As a matter of fact, they'd been out there surfing and dancing on the water. Hey, we're talking about a dance on the water. All of them. Wouldn't that have been fun? Jesus probably had to look back and say, oh yeah, somebody grab the boat, pull it with you. Here we go. I'm just telling you, you think that would have been an encouragement? Somebody would have said, like my little granddaughter Thea says, it's just a year and a half. When I'm breaking up them little oranges, giving them to all the grandgirls, boy, she shoves her way through. She's the youngest one. She'll shove her way and she'll say, me, 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 me. She got it down. You know what we need to be saying? Me, 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 me. To believe in God. Trust in God. You can't walk on water unless you get out of the boat. But when you get out of the boat, it's a risk of faith. But I'm telling you, you walk on the words of Jesus. You don't just do it because somebody else is doing it. You do it because Jesus says it to you. When they forgot the Lord, fear came. So we're to practice remembering. Jesus is the great I Am. Provision is present even when we can't see it. Wait a minute. Protection is present even when we can't see it. Rescue is present even when we can't see it. Why? Because He's the great I Am. You know what I Am means? It means this. He says, I am more than enough for whatever your need is. I am more than enough. And so you look at your mountain. You look at your need. Is it rescue? Is it restoration? Hey, but some of us, I had to have this week. I had to have some refreshing and renewal. Because I'd done cross the line. And I had to take about 24 hours of just R&R with the Lord. And I want to tell you, He's the I Am for whatever you need. I am more than enough. Somebody say, He is more than enough. So, what happened with Peter on the water, and I'm going to finish this up right here. But what happened with Peter on the water is he changed channels. Because he was walking on the water. And then the Bible says, but when he perceived. Do you see that is in verse 30? When he perceived and felt the strong wind. You know what that means? That means he changed channels. He changed channels. You know what happens to us? We change channels. I want to tell you, you will succeed if you keep your focus on the Lord. You will not succeed if you take your focus off the Lord. Peter would say amen to that in a loud way. Because he changed channels. He went from focusing on Jesus, felt the strong wind, he was frightened. See, when you focus on the world and the stuff, the storms of the world, you become frightened and he began to sink. Isn't that a good picture? And he cried out, see, this is the good news. You may be sinking right now. Do what he did. He cried out to the Lord, Lord, save me, I'm dying here. Instantly, Jesus. See, that's the way he is. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and caught and held him up. Now, I just got to whisper this to you. He must have been pretty close. He probably walked a long way. I can't tell you how many brothers I know. They walk an amazing journey. And they get toward the end of their journey and they get their focus off of Jesus because they think they got enough momentum to carry them all the way through. But Jesus is your focus. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your great I Am. I don't care how old you are, how mature you are, what all you've accomplished for the Lord. Daily, 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 we got to flip the switch and say yes to Him. Jesus picked him up, and only Jesus is so good about this. He asked and answered a question. This is verse 31. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, look, I've already covered with you that he had faith. Let's admit, he had faith. He had already walked on water. He had the faith to walk on water. He had the faith. But you know what happened? He changed channels, and doubt began to come in. You see, it's not your faith. Are you listening? It's not your faith. It's the doubt. It's the speculation. It's the unbelief. And you get that from the world channel. When you start agreeing with the world, what the mountains are saying, what the storm is saying, and you're taking your focus off of Jesus, then I want to tell you, that's when fear comes in. Doubt, speculation and unbelief will bring fear. It'll invite fear in. Do you see that? Was that more for me than you? I'm telling you, that's powerful. So doubt quenches your faith. You got to think tug of war here. Okay? You got the faith. But I want to tell you, when doubt comes in, doubt gets on the other side and starts resisting it. And it weakens the momentum and authority of your faith if you're given allegiance to doubt. Somebody say yes. That allows me to finish up the sermon. Okay. When he got into the boat, the wind ceased. I'm going to read this one verse and I'm done. So it's James 2, verse 17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now I want to tell you what the difference is. Faith without works, I want to tell you, we're talking about a completeness of faith. Because you got the faith, but it's a completeness in the application of faith for what you're facing. That can come in seconds. instantaneously, or it can come in a season. Whatever it is, it's worth winning. And the Lord's not going to give up on you. He honors you persevering, but He will bring you to the place of completeness in your faith for that mountain to become a molehill. Somebody say amen. All right, let me pray for you. Father, we thank You, we thank You, we thank You. Lord, we want to know Your ways. Thank You that You want us to know Your ways more than we want to know them. Thank You, Lord Jesus, You've given us the Holy Spirit to teach us how to apply. Thank You, Lord, that that's His role. And He loves to help us apply the promises, the truth of who You are, the great I am in our life. Lord, help us to recognize You, receive who You are, and respond to You by faith. And we give You praise. And all the people said, amen. Amen. We're going to get to the next.